هذا القاسم المستقى محمد وعلى أهل بيتهم الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا قائدا مناصرا ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. By the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we started this wasiyah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam to his son Imam Mustafa alayhi salam when he returned from the battle of Siffin. And we mentioned quite a few phrases of this noble, glorious wasiyah. And alongside with this wasiyah, many topics were covered regarding being optimistic to Allah, with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, having a lot of hope in Him. We talked about tawbah, repentance, and someone who does commit sins knowingly, willingly, whether his repentance is accepted or not. And having full hope in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was mentioned. We talked about the names of Allah, one of them being Sareem al-Hisab. And we talked about Hisab, which is the accountability on the Day of Judgment, and how swift Allah Ta'ala is in taking this account. So all these different topics were mentioned. Now today, in this wasiyah, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, فَالْحِجْ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ يَفْتَحْ لَكَ أَبْوَابَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَلَا يَقْنُدْكَ إِنْ أَبْتَأَتْ عَلَيْكَ الْإِجَابَةِ. So in this part of the wasiyah, Imam, he emphasizes and talks about dua. That is, when we supplicate to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how this dua has to be, what are the conditions of these duas, because fast we are approaching the nights of Qadr. And in these nights of Qadr, these duas are required. So Imam mentions and tells us what exactly is required when we approach Allah Jalla Ala. Regarding dua, we have loads of quotes from Ma'asumin alayhi salam. Says, Ad-dua mukhul ibadah. That is, the essence of worship is dua. That is, if you want to approach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the core of that worship of yours is that sincerity and how you approach Him Jalla Ala. And we talked about these du'as quite a lot. Sometimes the criteria which Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions over here, assuming that there is no wrong in us, and normally it was mentioned, the reason why du'as are not accepted, it's because of some type of a shortcoming that is in our performance, as a result of which du'as, they don't elevate. If God forbid, within the community or within our own homes, we've got this wrong in our system, then definitely we should be positive. The reason for our du'as not being elevated, it's the wrong that is in us. God forbid, if it's this physical abuse, if it's this swear words, etc., within the family members, husbands and wives, etc. So definitely that du'a will not elevate. So du'as, assuming that none of these wrong exists in us, now if du'as do not except are not accepted, what is the reason for that? So here Imam says, sometimes du'as, they are delayed. You may be asking Allah for something, but that desire of yours, your wish, your du'a, your hajat, it's not accepted. Imam says that maybe the first time we presented our pledge, it wasn't accepted. That ability, that capacity to attract the mercy of Allah was not present in us. So what happens is that we have to emphasize, be adamant, and present these pledges over and over again so that mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is attracted more. So the more we present these pledges and du'as, more mercy of Allah is attracted. And it isn't as such that all the time and every time when we have a du'a, it is that same mercy which is pouring on us. No, even the mercy and rahmat of Allah, it's in different It's a variety of mercies. We do not know exactly which one it is. And what is beneficial to us that is given to us? Sometimes du'as, they are delayed. Then it doesn't mean that we have to sit back and relax. If for the first time he didn't give, doesn't matter. Try again, over and over again until, and I've come to that point where Masumeen, they say that sometimes du'as, they are delayed. It is not necessarily because there is a shortfall in that individual. Maybe the maslaha, the hikmat of Allah Ta'ala is that the time, it's not the right time for me to get that benefit, that du'a being accepted. We have riwayat Masumeen, they say that no du'a of any mu'min ever goes waste. Never. And that assumption and that thought that our du'as are not being accepted, that's wrong, that's false, that is being pessimistic with Allah Ta'ala. No du'a goes waste. For mu'mineen, it is said that when mu'mineen will check in into the heaven, there in their chambers they will find all these great gifts that are already present waiting for them. They will ask that, what is all this? What are these gifts that are waiting for us? And they will be addressed. It's all of those du'as of yours which were not accepted in this dunya. Allah, He has compensated them with all these gifts and luxuries in the heaven. So no du'a ever goes waste. And then there, mu'mineen would say, we wish none of our du'as were ever accepted in dunya. Because the way how Allah Ta'ala compensates. So here Amir al-Mumineen says that if your du'a is not accepted, don't lose hope, try again. Keep on trying. And the more you try, the more mercy of Allah Ta'ala you will attract. And when you become strong enough, that capacity of accepting that favor of Allah, that du'a of yours being acknowledged, that also will be granted. Sometimes du'as, they are to portray our servitude and worship to Allah. It shouldn't be as such that I only ask Him for something. Du'a sometimes mean that in addition to my requests and wishes that I have with Allah, I have to top up my amal and actions. If I used to offer, for example, half a kilogram of prayers every day, that needs to increase to 3/4, to 1 kilogram at least one day. So that also needs to increase, that in addition to du'as, namaz also must increase. In addition to du'as, the performance also has to go better. In addition to du'as, fasts also have to increase. So that top up also has to be there in addition to those prayers. And we did mention this on and off, that Masumeen alayhi salam, it was their habit and etiquette that whenever they wanted something to be granted, they sought assistance, istainu bisabri was salah, they sought assistance from sabr, which is fast, they sought assistance from prayer, which is salah. So whenever they wanted something from Allah, instead of just sitting and asking, they used to offer a few rak'at of prayers, they used to observe fast, as a result of which, now, one of the other things which man is normally mistaken over here, he thinks that whenever he wants something from Allah, he will get it immediately. Quran says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُودًا. Because man, he is very hasty. He wants things to be done. He's always in a rush. He wants things to be done quickly. When that is not right, when he wants something from Allah, it has to be presented. If it is in our favor, he will give. If it is not in our favor, he will not give. He will delay. Maybe du'as of ours that we have here in 2012, they may not be accepted. Maybe the next generation which comes after us, they will benefit from the du'as of the parents. Now, go to an incident. Marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan. He starts his education was in Najaf. And in those days, there were sanctions between Iran and Iraq, and funds couldn't come from Iran to Najaf. And he was short of funds. So much so that he used to borrow and sell his own books to continue with his studies. Says that he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, has a tawassul, says, Ya Ali, I left everything behind to come here to learn. And if you are the host and I am your guest, is this the way how you host a guest? So So this way I cannot study with nothing in my belly, with all these problems, with all these letters coming in day in, day out, selling my books to study. This is no way. He comes and has that tawassul with Amir al-Mu'mineen. That very day, someone knocks at the door with an envelope in his hand, gives him a big bunch of money and says that this will be sufficient for you until the duration of your studies, for the duration of your studies. And he says that there's a name written on that envelope, and he did not recognize who that person was who brought this envelope to him, and the name of that person also he did not recognize. He says after his studies, in his summer holidays, when he went back to Tabriz, says that it was his ethna, his adat, his habit that he frequents in the cemeteries, graveyards. And this again, it's a teaching which Amir al-Mu'mineen did mention, that Mu'mineen have to frequent into the graveyards. He says that I come to that graveyard, I was just passing by all of these graves, and I see a grave of a Mu'min who was buried 300 years ago. And the name that was written on that envelope that was given to me after 300 years was of this person who was buried in Tabriz 300 years ago. So Allah makes those arrangements. Asbab are created by Allah. Maybe a dua of our ancestors was there many generations before us, which materializes in our time. Duas that we have, they may not be accepted while we are alive, but maybe the generations to come, they will get those du'as. And for that reason, we are told that when you want to have a presentation of a du'a to Allah, don't be bakhil. Don't say only me, my wife, my children, myself, my home. No, be large. As we recite in this du'a every day, Allahumma adkhil ala ahl al-qubur as-surur. That Allah to all the dwellers of the grave, doesn't say Muslims, doesn't say Shias, doesn't say who? All of them, at large, Muslims, even all those who were the enemies of Allah, have mercy on them, make them happy. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. That Allah, everyone who is needy, make him rich. Give him. So that is the etiquette, that we have to be large when we ask for du'as. Maybe we get it in our lifetime, maybe we don't. If we don't get it, doesn't mean that we have to lose hope. I'll quote you some more riwayat over here. Here, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam says that la yaqnutka in abta'at alayka al-ijaba. Says don't lose hope if that acceptance of that dua is delayed. Says rubbama ukhirat anka al-ijaba liyakuna atwala lil-mas'ala. It is sometimes, it is in your benefit, du'as are delayed. If du'as are delayed and you get it at a later stage, you will witness it and you will definitely say that this was the right time. If this blessing was given to us many days ago, we would have lost it, or that would not have been the right time. Elsewhere, in another hadith al-Qudsi, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْعَبْ لَيَدُوا. That is, my servants, they ask me for their du'as, for their hajat. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ. Allah says to his angels, because the angels, they take the du'as, then says to the angels, قَدْ اسْتَجَبْتُ لَهُ. That is, if I had so many wishes, for example, today, Allah says, I've accepted all of them. Now it has to be dispatched and a courier has to bring it to us. He says, I have acknowledged it and I have accepted. قَدْ اسْتَجَبْتُ لَهُ وَلَكِنْ اِحْبِسُ. Hold on to it. Don't release it yet. Don't dispatch it. Why? فَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَ سَوْتَ. That is, hold on to those wishes. I love to hear that mu'min call upon me. That is, he loves to hear the voice of a mu'min, as if he has that hajat, that voice clip being played on a repeat mode in Arsh, until that wish is granted by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He loves to hear a mu'min. So that is another hikmat that is mentioned, that why du'as are delayed. And then says that وَرُبَّمَا سَأَلْتَ شَيْءٍ فَلَمْ تُكْتَمُ وَأُوْتِيْتَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ عَاجِلًا أَوْ عَاجِلًا. Says sometimes you ask for something, but that is not in your benefit. Says that will be given to you later, or maybe that will be given to you soon. But you do not need to lose hope. hope has not been lost. May that be in these Laylatul Qadr that are fast approaching, that may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant and grant us all that we ask from Him, all the good that all the noble have asked from Him, be granted to each one of us. Now sometimes when du'as are accepted, mu'mineen, they fell into the satanic traps. Now before this recession, when there was a lot of money with everyone, so people were of a different mood. Maybe the presence of mu'mineen in mosques also wasn't that large. But as the barakat of this recession, we find many faces present in mosques. People, they supplicate more with Allah. Why? Because sometimes those ni'mats, too many blessings, make man proud. Distance is increased between Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His servants. So sometimes He gives to test them, and sometimes He takes it away. It's like a mother or a doctor who wants to cure a baby. The mother would give a bitter medicine to the baby, not because she hates that baby. She wants that baby to get well. So recession is that bitter medicine that has come. Allah wants His servants to come back on track. And we quoted so many riwayat and sayings of Masumeen and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The love that Allah has towards His servants is so great that He wants them to come back on track. And that Sirat al-Mustaqeem that was mentioned, that is that Sirat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Shaitan is sitting on this Sirat only. Because it is Mu'mineen who are on the Sirat. Others, Shaitan has nothing to do with them. And to attract them, to tempt Mu'mineen, he sits on that Sirat to deviate and put them away from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So here, I'll give you another incident of as to how, why things, when they are given to an individual, a person, he becomes proud, stands against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. During the Prophet of Rasulullah, time of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a very poor person comes to Rasulullah, says, Ya Rasulullah, I am hand to mouth, very needy, I haven't got anything, help. Rasulullah gives him some money, says that this will be your capital, buy a goat, a lamb, and then you can start your business. And this person invests it, buys a lamb, a goat, and slowly his business starts to grow. Now this person who was so mu'min, used to frequent with Rasulullah so much, because his lifestyle is a busy lifestyle now, the prayers are starting to miss, he can't attend the prayers with Rasulullah. Now because the flock of sheep has grown so much, he can't live in Medina. Takes the sheep out, away from Medina, because the sheep, it's a large herd now, a big flock. So he has to take care outside Medina and sit there. His family grows, children grow, wealth multiplies, and has become a very rich person now. And in those days, the ayah of zakat was revealed. Rasulullah sends his zakat collectors to that person. Now that you are rich, you've got enough goats, you've got enough cattle, you have to pay that zakat. He says, I will not give that. I don't want you to have that free money. I earned it. It is my wealth, and I worked so hard to earn all this money, and that zakat I will not give. So he has become proud. Says, it's all mine. Rasulullah says, okay, that investment of yours was by that little money I gave you. You can give it back to me. He sees that that's just a little, one lamb, and now he has 1,000, for example. Says, that's nothing, I can give it back to you. He gives that money which Rasulullah initially invested, as a result of which, due to the barakat of which, that little money multiplied into those 1,000 sheep. He gives it back, not knowing that that little money of Rasulullah was the backbone of his business. He gives it back to Rasulullah, and after a tragedy hits, and all of his livestock is dead. Repents and comes back. That is how Allah tests. Not every dua is in our favor. Not every dua has to be accepted. Whilst being haunted, maybe it is delayed. The Amir al-Mu'mineen says that duas are delayed because it is فدعيت هذا الحديث القدسي الوصول الكافي. There Allah says that when mu'mineen they come to me, they ask for their hajat. Sometimes I give them. Sometimes I stop. I don't give. And that is because of that love I have towards the mu'mineen. My attitude towards mu'mineen is as such. And says that because I don't want mu'mineen to fall into the trap of pride, kibr, and ghurur, I test them in these different ways. For example, there says that many a times it may so happen that mu'mineen, they say their prayers on time, fajr prayers. All of a sudden, they cannot get up for their fajr prayers. Allah says it was me who made them sleep, slumber, so that they don't wake up for fajr. Because if they had woken up that day, that would make them fall into kibr, ghurur, right? As a result of which, they would be away from me. So Allah says, I put them to sleep so that they don't wake up, so that they don't fall into the trap of kibr and pride. This doesn't mean that we don't need to get up. If we don't get up knowingly for prayers, then Allah is being kind to us now. That is, we tried our best, and then we couldn't wake up in those cases. And then says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that what you ask from Allah, it shouldn't be nonsense. Something which is sensible. Ask something from Him which is sensible, which is in your benefit, which is in the favor of others. That is good for you. Salawat.
Allahumma salawat.
We talked on these different topics of sirats and how and what is going to happen in the hereafter. One of these topics which we need to know is, or the questions which may come to your mind, are that how is it possible for Hazrat Israel, the angel of death, for him to kill multiple people at one time? Or if it is a disaster, nowadays it's all man-made disasters, we don't have natural disasters anymore. So in these man-made disasters, you have a death toll of thousands of people perishing at one time instantly. So if we believe that Malakul Maut is the angel of death and he seizes the soul of everyone, how is it possible for him to seize the soul of so many people at one time? First of all, in this field of taking the soul from a person and Israel alayhi salam, it is not this material issues that are being mentioned. For him to get from one place to another, he doesn't need to travel all those distances when it comes to things which are not related to the kingdom of matter. In addition to that, it isn't as such that one angel of death, Hazrat Israel alayhi salam, it is him only who does all the job. There are thousands of angels who are working under Hazrat Israel. When it comes to him to take the soul, it isn't as such that he has to take the soul of every person. It's these formalities that have to be observed, that are observed even in those zones. That is, if a president of a state comes to a country, it is the president who goes and welcomes him. If it's the prime minister, it's the prime minister. If it's the minister, it's the minister who goes and welcomes him. It isn't as such that if an ambassador comes from a state, it is the president of the other who goes and welcomes. That is against the etiquette and of the... So that official welcome is different. Hazrat Israel, he is the chief of staff of the angels of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he doesn't take the soul of everyone. He has thousands of angels working for him, under him. They take the souls for kuffar, for munafiqeen. It will be one of those band, 3, 4, who will be taking the souls. For mu'mineen, it's someone, angels of a high class. Quran says that not all souls are seized by Israel. Says that some are seized by Israel. Says some are seized by tawaffathu rusulana, that our exalted rusul and the angels, they go and take the soul of mu'mineen. To some, he says that neither Israel is allowed to kill a person, nor those angels working under him, nor those high class angels, none of them. Allah says, me, myself. I take the soul of that mu'min, that abd of mine, who has worked so hard in this dunya, who has arrived at a rank. None of those have the ability or the capacity to seize the soul of that mu'min. It is Allah Himself. Now, again that same question as to how one angel or so many angels can kill so many people. A hadith. Here, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam says, he quotes from Hazrat Israel alayhi salam, says that the entire world or this entire creation is in my possession, in the possession of Israel, says like the possession of one coin in your hand, says to the Imam. How you can hold that one penny in your hand? For me, that entire creation holding it in my hand is like holding that one penny in my palm. So it's in my possession. So we'll talk on this as to how souls of mu'mineen are seized and where do they arrive when they depart from this dunya. Now coming slowly towards akhirah. When a person dies from this dunya, first of all, may Allah Ta'ala ease that journey for each one of us. The horror, the pains of death, may that be removed from every one of us. All those who have departed, all those who have passed away from among our relatives, friends, mu'mineen at large, Allah in this month of mercy forgive them and grant higher and higher ranks in the hereafter. Quran says, that وَأَنَّ الْمَوْتِ in these du'as that we have, one of them is Ziyarat Ala Yaseen. It says that وَأَنَّ الْمَوْتَ حَقْ. Mouth is right, it's haq. وَأَنَّ نَاكِرًا وَنَكِيرًا حَقْ. Nakir and Nakir, they are the two angels who will question in the grave. It's haq. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ النَّشْرَ حَقْ. Nashr means the gathering. In the hereafter, that is when everyone will die and the blowing of the horn, the trumpet will take place and Allah will gather everyone in that hereafter, says that gathering is nashr. That is haq. Wal ba'ath haq says that once everyone is in the grave and that horn will be blown and all those living at that time will be killed and the horn will be blown again, says that wal ba'ath haq, the raising, the rising from the graves, that too is haq. Everyone will have to rise. One as-sirat haq, sirat inshallah we'll talk about it. Wal mirsad haq, and that Allah, that whatever is being watched, that is haq. Wal mizan haq, we talked about this on and off, and that is that scale of balance, that is haq. Hashr is haq. Hashr is the raising of the dead. Here, Imam says, that is haq. Says, hisab is haq. That is the accountability, the account which will be taken from mu'mineen. Wal jannat wal nar haq. The heaven and the hell is haq. Wal wa'd wal wa'idah bihima haq. That is the promise of reward and the threat of punishment which Allah has mentioned. That if you do good, you will be rewarded. If you do bad, you will be punished. Says, that too is haq. So the whole being, the whole package, that is this journey which starts from death of an individual until he gets to the heaven, all of that is haq. So here, Imam, he itemizes. If you get some time, look into this dua, adina, or talqeen that we recite, there we've got a further itemization of how exactly and what exactly are the stops and stations that we have in the journey to the unseen. So here we'll talk about hashr. That is the resurrection. The first stage after the blowing of the horn is hashr. We have four angels. One is Jibreel, who is the messenger between Allah and his prophets. All the communications that Allah has as are delivered via Jibreel. We have Mikael, who is the distributor of every rizq. Whatever you get, all the sustenance that is provided to you, that is got to us by Mikael. And then we have Israel, who is the angel of death, and Israfil, Israfil is the angel to whom just two tasks are assigned, and that is the blowing of the horn. That is, when it will be the day of judgment, he will blow the horn, everyone will die. Once again he will blow the horn, everyone will be brought back to life. That is the task assigned to Prophet, to angel Israfil. Riwayat, they say that in greatness, Hazrat Israfil is much higher in rank even than Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. The reason behind that, Riwayat, they say that Jibreel, although he's the chief of staff, he is the messenger service between Allah and all of the prophets, Allah and all of the A'imma, but a task is assigned to Israfil, which is not assigned to Jibreel. That is, when the blowing of the horn will take place and every thing and everyone who possesses life will be killed, even Jibreel will be killed. So he is in a state higher than Israfil because he will bring the death, kill Prophet Angel Jibreel, and then will be prophet. And this question comes that if that Qiyamah is to take place and all the angels will be killed, what about Israfil? Who will kill him? It is Allah Ta'ala who is the creator. He can kill him. He will bring him back to life to carry out his other task, and that is to blow the horn and bring everyone back to life. Now that blowing of the horn has taken place, and then when the second horn will be blown and everyone will be brought back to life, that is that opening of Mahshar, that is the official opening of resurrection, it is when the second horn is blown. Here in Surah Yasin says that وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, that is the trumpet will be blown. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, and from their graves they will rise, and to their Lord they will rush. They will hasten towards their Lord. As if after the blowing of the second horn, everyone will be brought back to life, and mankind, billions of people, they will be poured at a spot. That is, the spot from where they heard the call and the cry. Now here, Imam Riza alayhi salatu wassalam, he says that there are 3 days which are horrific for every person. Says the day when a person is born, when a baby is born, he has come from his womb, entered into this dunya, and upon seeing this dunya, that horror hits him, he cries. Says the second day, which is the most terrific and the most horrific day for an individual, is the day when he dies and he enters another phase of life, and that is barzakh. And the third day of horror is the day of judgment, and that is when he enters mahshar, that qiyam. So Quran says nufikha fis-soor, when that trumpet will be blown, you will find that everyone from their graves, they will pour and rush towards that collar that from where this horn was blown. That is, the horn will be blown, and without any prior preparation, mankind will be raised and poured from one point to another. And then Quran says, those who had no faith in the hereafter, when they will pray, they will be raised from their graves, they would say, قَالُ يَا وَيْلَنَا, that is, they would say that, who be unto us, مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا, who woke us up from our graves? We were sleeping. And then they would say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, this is what we were informed, what Allah had informed us, that there is a day of judgment, there is a resurrection, people have to die, people will be raised, and then they would regret that why did we not have faith in all those messengers and all those messages that were given to us. So if you get some time tonight, go through these ayah of Surah Yasin from 51 to 54. Beautiful ayah, and you'll get an idea of what exactly happens in Hashr. Hashr is that resurrection when people will be raised. One of these mustahab tasks to which our ulama, they give so much of importance is that they say, recite Surah Al-Hashr every night before you go to bed. Surah Al-Hashr. And it doesn't take much time, about 4 or 5 minutes of your time. So all these were the promises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala conveyed to you, but you had no faith in the word of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Now when an unknown, an unfamiliar voice will guide mankind to a point, their eyes will be filled with fright, filled with shame. Why? When they will be erased from their graves. Like scattered crickets in the sky, you will find mankind scattered in that mahshar. Kuffar, that would say that, what a tough day. In Surah Al-Ma'arij says that يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوْكِرُونَ, the day on which they shall come forth from their graves in haste, as if they were hastening on to a goal, to a destination. So all rushing to a designated point, to a designated desk. That is, there will be so many desks, everyone will be rushing towards the desk, scared, frightened eyes, filled with shame. Now why filled with shame? Now those who did wrong in this dunya, their eyes will be filled with shame over them. It's they who will be in horror. But there are people, now these people who will be terrified on that day, there will be no shelter, it's going to be a hot day. Riwayat, they say that the land of Mahshar, it's not this land on this planet Earth. Says it's going to be a flat land with nothing high, nothing low, just a flat land. And the land of Mahshar, Ma'sumin, they say is going to be fire. Made of fire, that heat is going to be there, a person will be breathless, it's going to be muggy, a person cannot breathe. Says, but mu'mineen will be safe. Who are mu'mineen? Those who have faith in Allah, faith in His justice, faith in Nabukkat, faith in Imamat, faith in Qiyamah, says they will be safe. Says, although that Mahshar is going to be a land of fire with all that heat and no breathing place, and Riwayat further say that when people will be rushing towards that Mahshar, they will be rushing to find a stepping place to stop and to stand. They couldn't stand. And that says, Mu'min, his Iman will grant him coolness. Mu'min's Iman will grant him shelter on that day. So that shelter will be a protection for a mu'min on that day. A person, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And when he inquires as to what should be done so that we get that shelter in the hereafter, Rasulullah says, give sadaqah. Now this person says, we are not that wealthy, we don't have that much of money to give all that sadaqah every day. He says sadaqah doesn't mean money. Doing good to someone, visiting someone who is ill, teaching someone, removing ignorance from an individual, du'as, prayers, fasts, giving help to someone, all that is sadaqah. So on that day, which is going to be tough, says these things will help. Imam our ulama that we have is marhum Allama Majlisi, the compiler, the author of the Bihar al-Anwar. Thousands of ahadith he has compiled. And he compiled these ahadith in a teamwork. One of those who helped him in this teamwork is his student, Ni'matullah Jazairi. Now between the ustad and the student, there is a talk. They say that we believe that death is haq. All these things that have been told to us, all that is right, all that is haq. Now let's bet together for in today's language. Says whoever dies first must inform the other what of the action, which of these actions and amal that we performed during our life helped the most. Now both of these personalities, Marhum Majlisi and Ni'matullah Jazairi, both are great ulama of that band A caliber. It so happens that the ustad, he dies, that is Marhum Majlisi. A few days pass, The student, he comes by the grave of the Ustad, recites Quran, has a tawassul, cries that what happened? The deal was that you had to inform me and you haven't come to inform me what happened. He says, as he was crying on the grave of his Ustad, he dozed off, sees his Ustad, says that, why didn't you come? Says, permission is not granted to everyone to come, go anywhere from Barzakh. We have riwayat, we say that angels, if that permission is granted to Mu'mineen, only then can they go. Otherwise, there is that severe security over there. And then says that what happened, out of all of these amal of yours, you did compile so many thousands of ahadith, so many brilliant students teaching, educating, everything that was done to yours was the best. Which of these amal of yours were accepted as the best? He says, one hot day in Najaf, I was going home and there wasn't anyone in the streets. I saw some people beating up another mu'min in the street. He owed him, he couldn't pay, and those bullies, they were the gangsters, they were beating him up to get those funds from him. And I mediated, I said, how much is that? I'll pay that money and you release him. Since I helped him out, no one found out that it was me who paid his debt. Said, Allah picked that among the best of actions of mine, and all what you see here that has been bestowed and blessed to me was as a result of that. That one goodness that was done. So if you see du'as, for example, du'a Abu Hamza. Towards the end of that du'a, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam talks about this, says that أَبْكِي لِخُرُوجِي مِنْ قَبْرِي عُرْيَانًا ذَلِيلًا حَامِلًا ثِقْلِي عَلَى ذَهْرِ. That is, I cry. And this is a ma'soom who is talking to Allah. Says, I cry from the horror of that day when I will be raised, uncovered, naked, عُرْيَانًا ذَلِيلًا, defamed and wretched. حَامِلًا ثِقْلِي عَلَىٰ ذَهْرِ, and I will be carrying my load on my back. And then says, أَنْظُرُ مَرَّةً عَنْ يَمِينِي وَأُخْرَىٰ عَنْ شِمَالِي, and then I will look at my right, and I will look at my right, left. إِذِ الْخَلَائِقُ فِي شَهْنٍ دُونَ شَهْنِي, that other creation, their performance is better than mine. My status is different to them. So it is a day of horror. Now when Imam says that I will be raised uncovered, naked, over here means for mu'mineen, their iman will be a protection. They will not be raised uncovered and naked in that hadith when Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha inquires her father that where will you be, father, on the day of judgment? He says that on a few stops. Says one of those stops will be with the mu'mineen. And she says, will mu'mineen be raised uncovered, naked? He says, no. That iman of a mu'min will be a protection, will be a cover for him, which will not make him naked, uncovered. Now here when Imam says naked means bare, without hasanah, without good actions. Or exactly it's that same phrase which is quoted from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, says that وَفَتْتُ عَلَى الْكَرِيمِ بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَقَلْبِ السَّلِيمِ, that I am departing, presenting myself to someone who is everything, who is Kareem. And the luggage which is required from this dunya to him is two pieces of luggage. حَسَنَاتِ وَقَلْبِ السَّلِيمِ, good actions and a good heart. And then says both of them are lacking. And how can I present myself before Allah? This is another way of presenting that Imam has presented over here. So everyone will be busy in mahshar. Mu'mineen will come to this station. Some will be extremely happy. Some will be sad. And a mu'min who has removed all the wrong in this dunya, he has nothing to worry over there. There he will be saved. So that day will not be a day of horror for him. He also will be compensated with his iman, it will be cool. He will find a stepping place to stop. He will find a breathing place to breathe, and all that because of that iman which he possesses. Ibn Mas'ud reports from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, says that Qiyamah has 50 stations, 50 stops. First, opening of Mahshar, and then from then onwards, there are 50 stops. Then Imam says that each stop will have a maximum duration of 1,000 years. 1,000 years stop. So being raised from the grave, entering the mahshar is the first station. The actions will be presented at another desk, that will be the second station. And there, mu'mineen, they will be awarded with their certificates. That is, and this station also, Imam says, is not more than 1,000 years. That is the maximum duration of it. So Imam says, one who is raised and has faith in the fundamentals, had accepted the actions, will be saved from the heat, hunger, horror of the day of judgment. So once Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says, Ya Rasulullah, let's go to Baqi. Baqi is that cemetery which these Malameen, they have ruined. And may Allah clear the surface of this earth from their presence. Says that Jibreel says, Ya Rasulullah, let's go to Baqi. And there they come. Jibreel comes by a grave and says, Bi'iznillah, rise. The person who was buried in that grave gets up, shakes himself, and starts dusting his kafan, his shroud. And then says, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. That is, Allah is great, and all praise belongs to Allah. Jibreel says, go back and rest in peace. He goes back. Comes to another grave, and then says, get up. Bi'iznillah, rise. And that second grave rises, and then says that, the first thing which this person says, that woe unto me. Why did you wake me up? He's going to be worried, terrific, horrified. And then Jibreel would tell him, go back to your grave. And then says to Rasulullah, this is how people will be raised in the hereafter. That is, instantly they will come to life, instantly they will be killed. So a mu'min will be raised, nurani, enlightened, with light. A kafir will rise and regret. And if that, in that khutbah of Sha'baniya, it was mentioned, that when Rasulullah talks to Amir al-Mu'mineen and then says, Ali, it is in this month that you will be martyred, you will be killed. Here, the first thing Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the chief of all the Mu'mineen, all the faithful. He says, Afi dhalika, that is that going to be when I die on faith and iman? Rasulullah says, yes. So even Amir al-Mu'mineen, who is the chief of all mu'mineen, is worried as to whether a person will die on iman or not. So iman, like every other blessing, is among those beautiful blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us, and that needs to be taken care of. Hassan al-Basri, he comes to Imam and says that, I wonder, with all these temptations and traps that shaitan has laid before us, how can we get into the heaven? Imam says, with all that grace and mercy Allah has on his humanity, on his creation, I wonder how a person can get into the hell. So that is hope, being optimistic in Allah the Barak wa Ta'ala. That hadith which we just mentioned, that is, Ma'rifatu Ali Muhammadin Bara'atu Minan Nar. That is, you know Ali Muhammad, you will find salvation from the fire. Hubbu Ali Muhammadin Jawazun Ala Sirat. You love Ali Muhammad, that will be your permit on that Sirat, on that bridge. Wal Wilayatu Li Ali Muhammadin Amanun Min Al Adhab. And that wadaya of Ali Muhammad will be an aman, a refuge, a protection from the chastisement, from the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One of the ulama, Ayatullah Marhum Shaykh Murtaza Ashtiani, he's buried in Mashhad, just by the grave of our eighth Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam. lived for about 80 years, 90 years. He died, and before his death, he did mention this. And after his death, his son or his relatives, they say that we saw him. And as it is a custom that when you bury someone, those, the relatives, they go away, and the talqeen has to be recited one to one between one person of the deceased, one of the relatives of his, and the marhum himself. Says everyone went away, and this marhum sees the horror of the grave, all dark, worried. And then says, after a while, I see my grave's light open. The two angels, Munkir and Nakir, they come. And he says that one after the other, I see 14 anwar, 14 moons, lights, they come to my grave. They are seated in my grave. And then says that Munkir and Nakir, they start questioning. Questioning in the grave is haq. Says, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Rasulullah, present, one of the 14, says that don't disturb him. He's tired. It's just exactly like when we travel from one point to another on this and we get that jet lag and we are tired, we want to rest. The same thing is when we travel from this dunya to Gaza. Says, because he is tired, don't disturb him. Let him rest. I will represent him. And I will answer the questions you want to ask on his behalf. Says, don't ask him. He's been serving me for the past 70 years. He's been teaching my nation what this usul is, what guru is, who God is. Don't ask him, I'll answer. Says, Man Rabbuk, Rasulullah says, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Rabbi. Says, who is your prophet? He says, I am his prophet. Says, who is your imam? Amirul Mu'mineen says, I am his imam. And one after the other, all of them, they bear witness for that marhum. That is, association of someone in this world was with Ahlul Bayt, and they are with him until the day of judgment.
That is salawat.
May Allah Jalla wa Ala bihaqq al-Zahra wa Amiha wa Ba'daha wa Baniha wa Sirra al-Mustawda fiha 10 times. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ajil fi faraj mawlana sahib al-zaman. All those who are ill and ailing for their shifa, all those who have passed away for their maghfirat, for our well-being, for our children, for us to be enlisted among the servants and supporters of the Imam, salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.